and thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and we are cruising right along into September. This is an interesting month for us because it is my wife's birthday month. I don't think she understands how much of a big deal it is to me that I celebrate her birth and the fact that she is part of my life, been a huge part of my life, the biggest, hugest part over the last 20 plus years. Yeah, happy birthday. I love you. And I wish you'd let me make your birthdays a bigger deal. But yeah, so happy birthday coming up. let's talk about some stuff I heard, okay? So I have been kind of busy with work, but going back and forth to work, I do listen to some podcasts. And there's a couple that I've been listening to over the last week. Whitney Cummings has a podcast called Good For You. And she had Dr. Drew on this past episode that I listened to. Kind of recent. It is interesting because Whitney is going to have a baby, and she's, by her own terms, a little bit later in life having a baby. Wasn't exactly the situation that she had planned, but let's face it, most people's pregnancies and births aren't exactly as planned because God has a sense of humor. So, she had lots of questions for Drew, and they of course wanted to talk about the big virus that hit the world, and what they're learning, what they've learned, what they're seriously questioning. And they skated around saying the words that would get them taken off of social platforms, because as I have found out, that if you even mention having a sickness of this kind, or any kind of medicines that may or may not work, or the powers that be that institute you do things their way and only their way and everything else is wrong, you will get deplatformed. So thanks, powers that be. You are making life really complicated for everyone to figure out how to navigate, how to say what they want to say. So that's fun. Now, there's a lot that's been going on in the news. We had a hurricane come across our area, and, you know, for the most part, we came out okay. But I have someone that I went to high school with whose son was traveling during the part where the storm had crossed over us. By the time it got to us, it was just heavy rain. It was just they called it a tropical depression at that point. But it did cause a tree to fall. And from what I understand, he is in serious condition. So thoughts and prayers go out to her son. I hope he's okay. And the other families, they lost people during that tree falling. It's unfortunate. There's a lot going on that we don't realize. They say that ignorance is bliss, and I agree with that, because if you're not aware of things, then you go, oh no, everything's great. We're great. You're great. I'm great. There's no problems. If you go to the doctor, a lot of people say they don't go to the doctor because that's where sick people are. When you go to the doctor, that's when you find out, oh, you've actually had this tumor this whole time. Oh, I was happy until I found out I had this tumor. And then once you find out that you have the tumor, then you don't make it. There is a certain grace to ignorance is bliss. I find that the more I learn, the more I sort of kick myself over the fact that I don't know enough. It's like, you know, when you were a teenager, you thought you knew everything. If anybody out there has teenagers, just ask them. Ask them any question, and they'll tell you the answer, and they know it. It's absolutely true, and they know everything. And then the older you get, the more you question everything. You're like, did I really learn that, or did I just say I learned it? And you find other people that are smarter than you, and you start asking them questions. And before you know it, you're educating yourself all over again, and you're going, what, I thought this was the answer, and it's totally not? Oh, man, come on. Just yesterday, we went over to a friend of ours' house, and there was three guys there talking, and we were discussing football stuff, watching college football, and we were all drawing blanks on every point we wanted to make. it was literally, you know, I'm the youngest of the group. I'm, you know, 49, going to turn 50 soon. And our conversations were, you know, that guy that played with the team, and he was drafted from, God, what year was that? And all of a sudden, we're just, none of us are making sense because we can't remember any of the things that we want to say. So all of us have our phone in our hands, and we're trying to Google information and trying to find the information of, you know, what the heck we're even talking about so we can make a point that we've already forgot about what the point is by the time we get the name out. So, yeah, it's fun. So I hope everybody out there is doing well. If you get a chance to listen to Whitney and Dr. Drew together, they're both extremely smart. They both ask a lot of really good questions. They both have a good sense of humor. And Dr. Drew is very open. Him and Whitney both are very open and honest about things that they've struggled with and things that they are struggling with. And they live in a rarefied situation where they can sort of be as honest as possible openly about everything, and yet also still be guarded enough to have a personal life, which is rarefied air. My favorite comedian, Bert Kreischer, skates that line a little too far into revealing too much about his life. Whereas, you know, he's friends with Rogan, and Rogan's really good about guarding his personal life from what you see on the podcast or in public. So, you know, there is that interesting line of how much do I share? How much do I care enough to tell you what's going on? You know, Anthony Oliver's song, they want to know what you think. They want to know what you do. In the Richmond, North of Richmond song, is absolutely true. And weirdly enough, we are volunteering information all the time that we were like, no, I'm going to tell people about this. I want to show them. I want to listen. This is my ticket to fame. You know, Chris Rock said it right. We're all addicted to attention in some way. We are. And, you know, I'm partly at fault. I have a podcast. I'm to have a YouTube channel. I have a social media presence. Why? Why do I care? Why does any of us care? I don't know. I guess mine started from watching WKRP in Cincinnati. I'd watch the guy get on the air and talk to the people on the airwaves and tell people what he was thinking in moments between songs. And he would have little bits of wisdom in between and then spin the record. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. You can kind of drop some poetry or some knowledge along the way and just keep rolling. Or the show Northern Exposure, that guy would do that. He had a radio station in Alaska, and he would get on the air and he would talk about his musings of the changing of the weather or things that were going on in their community about how they need to focus on one another or, you know, take a moment and observe the beauty around them and that sort of thing. And I thought, that's what I want to do. Yeah. In high school, I even mirrored on the what they call shadow day for career day, going to a radio station and getting to walk around and see everybody and meet everybody. And it wasn't what I thought it would be. A lot of it was just a job. It was just them showing up and, yeah, I press these buttons and this is what I do. And then I go to commercial and I make a little bit of money. And I was like, this isn't what I want to do. This isn't it. I didn't know what I want to do. I still don't know what I want to do. I'm almost 50. I have a job. I'm good at my job. But there's not a single day that goes by I don't contemplate, what could I do differently? What challenge could I be excited about learning? What could I contribute to my organization or another organization? I don't know. I'm glad I'm good at what I do. I'm glad I'm valued. I'm glad that what I do is a good service to a lot of people. But there's a lot of days where it's just kind of shuffling your feet and trying to get through the day and trying not to create a lot of noise. So anyway, the podcast allows me to do the thing that I wanted to do when I was a kid, to do the thing that I thought I could do, to, if I find something cool, talk about it. If I wanted to share something with you guys, I could. And listen, I know this is a little podcast. I know that not a lot of people listen. Apparently, it does matter, though, because I'm about, 1.3 I forget how to do it. 130,000 downloads or something like that, that I'm doing. So, I mean, somebody's listening. Somebody cares. I appreciate it. Thank you. So let's talk about some other stuff. Let's talk about some stuff I heard. Okay. Cause that's kind of the name of the podcast and the whole theme of the thing. So I'm wearing the shirt. I'm sure you guys can see it if you're watching on YouTube, the Ahsoka Tano shirt. I've been watching Ahsoka, and episode 4 came out this past week. If you haven't seen it, skip it. Skip what I'm going to say, but I'm going to talk about it. So the episode is called Fallen Jedi, and that references a lot of things. Right off the bat, of course, you have Ahsoka, which is she has the famous episode where she was questioned about whether or not she had an assassination attempt, and the Jedi Council kicked her out of the order, and she had to prove that she wasn't involved. She actually didn't even want to prove she wasn't involved. She just left and was like, you know what? I did everything I could to do the right thing, and you guys are still accusing me. Even Anakin accused her, and he was supposed to be her master, and you know, the old master Padawan and experience. And so she left. And in the process, kind of hooked up with Ventress, who was Count Dooku's, whatever you want to call it, pupil. And together they sort of figured out what the real plot was and what the real villain was. And when they brought it back to the council and they proved who had done the thing, they were like, oh, no, well, you know, we'll look at me back in now. And she was like, no, this ain't for me. Like, she realized that the entire Jedi Order was faulted and they were flawed. And their view of things was being blurred by something else. Even before she knew it, she knew that they were being corrupted from within. And, you know, we learned from watching the movies that, you know, the Chancellor ended up being the Emperor. And so he was swaying things from within and manipulating Anakin the entire time. And she walks away from Anakin. And so in a way, she is the fallen Jedi. But so is our main bad guy, Baylan. Baylan Skrull. How kind of cool name is that for a bad guy? Baylan Skrull. It just sounds awesome. So he wanted to be a Jedi, and then the Empire fell and Order 66 happened, and suddenly all of the clone troopers thought that all of the Jedi were bad guys. And I don't think that he's a Sith. There's a lot of speculation going around about the fact that his lightsaber is orange and not red, that maybe he is just an opportunist. And he says during this, he has a one-on-one fight in this episode with Ahsoka. And he tells her, he says, where's the famous line? One must destroy in order to create. Because she asks him, she's like, why are you doing this? This is going to cause a war. And he's like, war's inevitable. And he's not wrong. People, for some reason, thrive to kill each other, thrive to hurt each other, thrive to tear each other down for their own political gain or their own power or their own manipulation of other people. And he's not wrong in the fact that when chaos happens, good things come out of it. There's 1,000 examples of how we've done horrific things as a country to other countries. And then you look at all of the cool things that have come from it and all of the horrific things that have come from it. Does one justify the other? No. But weirdly, they have to coexist. I mean, I feel bad saying that, but that's kind of the truth. I mean, without chaos, you don't have order. Without the bad guy, you don't have a good guy. Without suffering, you don't have advancements in medicine and technology. You know, there's a lot of people that speculate that 9/11 was an inside job. And please don't deplatform me for saying the speculation part. But if it's true, this is a big if, but if it's true, maybe they did it because the economy was suffering. Hey, we need a bad guy. We need a war. How do we have a war? I don't know. Let's have a false flag attack ourselves. And then we can point at the bad guy and say, there's the bad guy. Let's go get him. And if you have everybody's support, then suddenly you're making a lot of money. Now, is Star Wars a fictionalized version of us? It's possible. It's very possible. There's a lot of times where art emulates life in a way that is able to poke fun at the situation and show the absurdity of what we're doing, but also at the same time create art. And Star Wars is not that far from Us Wars. Just got better characters. So anyway, we get a lot that's happening in this episode. Baylan and Ahsoka fight. Really good fight. I was impressed with how they were able to do the physical dynamics of Rosario playing Ahsoka Tano. I thought in the first couple of episodes they had her moving just a little too slow, and I thought in this one they did a good job of showing her at the speed that she should be compared to... Listen, it's hard to compare real life to animated, but they did a good job. during the fight, we see plenty of examples where they're telling her and Sabine not to split up. You guys are better together. You get to see a moment of that whenever they're fighting these HK droids. And the moment they split up is when they start to lose. Even Hu Yang says that out loud. He's like, you guys do better together. Stay together. And first thing they do is they split up. Kind of like, the Scooby-Doo gang. Hey, guys, we're in the spooky area. You and Scooby go over there where the thing came from, and we're going to go over here and investigate this office. It's like the dumbest. Anyway, again, you have to destroy in order to create, right? So right off the bat, they do the thing that Baylan says. And Sabine goes off on her own, and she is chasing after, what's her name? I can't think of her name. The other chick, you know what I mean? Where is the thing? It's in front of me. I'm just going to read the name. Morgan. Sabine's fighting Morgan. Or no, Morgan is the witch lady. Anyway, Sabine's fighting another chick with a dark lightsaber, with the orange lightsaber. And she, at the moment, does a gesture where she like tries to use the force because she gets her lightsaber knocked out of her hand and it doesn't work, but it sort of tricks the chick that she's fighting into thinking that she may have it, but then she uses some of her Mandalorian skills to get out of the situation. She actually makes it back to the star map and sort of holds the star map hostage because she has a blaster to it and can destroy it with her blaster. She has, Mandalorians are known to have very strong weapons, and hers is no exception. She's got her blaster to the star map, sort of holding it hostage. And Baylan defeats Ahsoka, kicks her off the side of some Stonehenge type thing towards the ocean. And you see her fall, but you don't know where she goes. And my first thought was, did she fall into the ocean? Did she fall and hit a platform below? Did she fall and maybe somebody swooped in with a spaceship and caught her? I mean, I was like, where did she fall? And we see that later on in the episode, but I'll get there. But you get to see Baylan and her interact, and he's good at not only using all of his skills as a physical presence, but also his wit. And he tells her, he says, don't do it for me, do it for you. You don't want to destroy that map. You want to go there just as much as I do for different purposes. You want to go to find Ezra. So do it for Ezra. Come with me, and I promise you no harm will come to you. That's the one thing I can do. I can let you come with me, and no harm will come to you. And she agrees. The other dark Jedi chick comes to him and comes to her and tries to hurt her, and he's like, no, leave her alone. I made a deal. She's going to come with me. So this is based on Shin. Shin's her name. Anyway, this is based on, a lot of samurai type stuff of, you got your good guys and bad guys and all that sort of thing. And with every samurai, you have a disciple underneath you who's learning, an apprentice who's learning to be the next samurai. And so there's always this plotting and angling of, this is what I want to do, and this is how I got to get you to do it. So again, it's not only just the physical element, but as the psychological element as well. So he convinces her to give him the star map so they can complete their direction. And the star map is a big deal. The star map is them plotting how to leave their known galaxy to go to another known galaxy. And we learn from listening to different podcasts. I learned from listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson on Joe Rogan talk about how the vastness of space is infinitely more nothingness than there is something. And so them plotting how to hyperleap from where they're at to where Ezra and Thrawn are is very important that they get it right. Because if they're off just by a little bit, they're lost forever. Like there's no coming back. So it's interesting how they've used a little bit of the Force, a little bit of witchcraft, a little bit of science, a little bit of everything to move the story forward to where you're going to have them now taking off and going to find Thrawn and Ezra. And you needed this to happen. I mean, just like he says, again and again, you got to destroy in order to create. So they destroy the relationship between Ahsoka and Sabine. They destroy the star map because he, once he gets the directions they need, he takes his lightsaber and zaps the thing so that hopefully nobody can follow them. And he's destroyed what he thinks he's destroyed is Ahsoka. Because once he kicks her off the edge of that thing, you see him kind of resident on, well, she's gone. But we see her, okay? We see her, and she's in the world between worlds. This is the thing that we thought we'd see all along. This is the look of the outside of the design for the t-shirt that I'm wearing. It's that star map thing that's like behind her and around her. It's part of the logo that's with her. And we saw that in Rebels whenever she was battling Anakin as Vader to try to save them. We don't see it, but we're assuming that he ended up killing her. But we see Ezra pull her through the world between worlds and basically save her. And when she wakes up, she looks around. You can tell she remembers where she is and she knows where she is. I mean, she knows that she's in this world between worlds. But I'm sure she's thinking, how did I get here? Like I was fighting Baylan and all of a sudden I'm here. Am I dead? Did I get pulled through again? Is Ezra going to be part of this? How did I get here? And the first thing she hears is Anakin say, Snips, which is what he used to call her. And she turns and she sees him. And it's Anakin. It's Anakin. So Hayden Christensen making his debut as Anakin on the show, which I'm super excited about. The question is now, what are they going to do for episode 5? Are they going to use this world between worlds to leap to where Ezra is? Or are they going to go back? Is she going to collect with Hugh Yang and maybe use the space whales to find out where Thrawn and Ezra are? Don't know. Sabine Wren is with them. She's with Baylan and Shin and Morgan. So, yeah, don't know. Okay, so we had a lot of fan theories about Merrick. Is Merrick going to end up being Starkiller? Is Merrick going to end up being a dark version of Ezra? Is Merrick going to end up being Kanan, be resurrected by the Night Witches? Turns out he was just a fallen something because he had a battle with Ahsoka and she, in one move, basically opened him up and this green gas came out of him and that was it. No more Merrick. I did see some stuff online. If you guys have a chance to check out on YouTube, a channel called Emergency Awesome, this guy named Charlie did a breakdown of it, and he mentions that in the Clone Wars, you get to see the Night Sisters resurrecting Darth Maul and also doing that with other fallen Jedi and basically turning them into like servants of them. And it's an interesting version of how the Force can be used by witchcraft let's face it, even the Jedi are using some sort of stuff that we call witchcraft in a way. There's even jokes about different bounty hunters fighting with Jedis and says, not today, wizard, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, I liked it. Good stuff. I can't wait for the next episode. I did get a delivery in, by the way. If you guys are on YouTube, you can see this. It is the Phantom and Ghost Lego set. The number on it is 75357. It is the Ghost and Phantom 2. 1,394 pieces. It has two ships. It has the Phantom and the Ghost. Pretty excited about that. It's got little characters along the bottom. Chopper, Hera, Jason. Pretty cool stuff. I'm excited about that. I got to set up a place to do those. I kind of want to do them in here, but I don't want to like be in my own way. So anyway, I got to figure that out. There's a lot of stuff I got to do. Anyway, moving forward. I did watch a comedy special that came out this past week on Netflix. It's with Shane Gillis. If you have a chance to watch it, it's called Beautiful Dogs. It's good stuff. He's got a lot of interesting views on things. What's funny about him is he's part of the Protect Our Parks group that is on Joe Rogan. him and Ari Shaffir and Martin Norman get together and they basically talk about what's going on. They started doing it during the pandemic and talking about how, you know, New York was basically shut down and they were like, you know, we got to protect our parks, man. We need to be outside and these nature elements. And, you know, if we don't do anything about it, we're going to lose these areas because they're going to just build condos everywhere. And then we're going to lose nature altogether. But then it's just become a group of them getting together and having a good time and talking about whatever. But Shane Gillis started being part of Bert Kreischer's Tops Off World Tour. And I got to see him personally in Lawrenceville, Georgia, during one of those events that was last year. Pretty good stuff. What was fun was listening to Bert talk about how his oldest daughter, Georgia, is very progressive and she, you know, is leaning more and more towards the liberal side of, you know, things about how to treat people and how to think and how to feel and that sort of thing. And Shane Gillis sort of challenges your thoughts on that, but also makes you laugh at the absurdity of it all. He's pretty quick. His humor is very quick. He had a lot of jokes in this that I thought were great. But he's good. You got to watch it. I'm just saying you got to watch it. It's called Beautiful Dogs. I'm not going to give any jokes away. But yeah, good stuff. Right now it's number one on Netflix. And a lot of that's because some of the top comedians in the world are like, you got to check out this special. It's great when your peers recognize that you're good. It's really good when they tell other people to go check you out, because then that helps big time. That helps other people see you, people you may not normally bring in to see you perform. And when they do it out of just the love of their heart, because they like what you do and they like you, that just speaks volumes about what a kind of character you are. So check it out. All right. And that's all I got for right now. I hope everybody's doing well. We have a special thing that we're going to be doing this week, and I'm looking forward to that. So I may be sliding in here to do a podcast at the last minute next week. Who knows? We'll see. Depends on how much I can get done and what kind of period of time we have. But look for some content. I'm not going to reveal what it is. Kind of want you guys to be anticipating and looking forward to it. So I hope everybody's doing well. Please remember, if you have a chance, to say a prayer for those who were affected by the last hurricane. I know they're still struggling. And keep an eye on this Hurricane Lee. If you're anywhere near where this path of this thing is going to go, you want to get away from there. And right now, they're predicting it to go towards New York and Rhode Island and stuff like that. And if you're anywhere near where this thing's going to go, like, leave, go several states away. This is going to be a really bad hurricane. They don't normally get hurricanes up there. I think the last one that affected like New Jersey, New York area was Hurricane Sandy. And it was mostly just a ton of rain and wind. But this is going to be way bigger than that. So just keep an eye on it, like everybody. If you're on the East Coast, keep an eye on this thing because there's no telling what it'll do. I know it's been at a 5, been hovering at a 4. I can tell you that being here in Florence, South Carolina, we're about 75 miles from the coast. And if it decides to turn towards us, I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm not sticking around here because that kind of force at a 4 or 5 is devastating. We're not safe 2 hours in. I mean, it is going to wreck a ton of stuff if it hits land. Even if the outer bands just skate along, it's going to tear up a lot of things. So keep an eye on it. Respect the weather. Respect God. Respect what's going to happen here. Look out for one another. Call one another. Be like, are you okay? Do you need a place to go? Hey, you're living pretty close to there. Let's get out of here. I mean, this is where you do the basics. Make sure you have oxygen first and then go help someone else. So y'all take care. Thanks for listening. If you like this, please give me a thumbs up. Rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And if you want to be on this and talk about some of these things, let me know. And I always end this by saying, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.